help. I came hungry, amen. And I came needing a real good drink. And you know, this thing doesn't happen all over the country. Oh, there might be some shouting going on. There might be some, you know, a movement, and there might. But you know, the flesh, you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference when it's all of the flesh. You know, it's just obvious. But boy, when the Lord gets in something and just really stirs our heart, boy, that's when it's genuine. Amen. And I'm thankful that we were allowed to be in that kind of environment this week. And man, I regret that it's almost over. But like the preacher just preached, we have something we can take home. Amen. And something that will challenge our heart and keep us going. And Lord willing, get ready and get our plans, bags packed, and make plans to come back next year. And if the Lord comes back between now and then, I hope He does, we'll listen to Jesus preach camp meeting. Amen. That'll be something. That'll be a blessing to hear the Lord. You know, the Bible said over in Luke 24 that when them fellas found out it was the Lord walking with them on the road to Emmaus, the Bible said that our hearts not burned within us. Boy, they got heartburn that day, amen. And what a blessing that was, amen. Just think, we're going to get to hear the Lord expound on all of those things. And the half has not yet been told. And hey, listen, it's Friday night, amen. And we don't have anything to do in the morning but get up. The world's out there shouting it out. The world's out there doing their thing. We might as well do ours, amen. Yeah, yeah, they think they're having fun, but they don't know the definition of fun, amen. They have no idea what kind of fun it is, amen. Boy, just to think that your sins have been forgiven, you've been washed in the blood, you're on the road to heaven, amen, and you got all this in heaven too, amen. What a joy, what a blessing. Boy, I want to thank the church for all that you've done for me, and I know I speak for every preacher. I really do. I believe I speak for every visitor. This church has been such a lighthouse to so many people in so many churches. And you just don't realize, Glory Land, what a help you are all around this country. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the day that I met you people and your pastor. I really am. I'm not just saying that. I wished I knew how to say that. You know, where you could see my heart in it. I've never had a pastor. I grew up in the church where I pastor now. I've had preachers that used me and because I could sing and play and be a cookie monster, amen, and all those kinds of things. Amen. I put on a purple suit one time and I was at, they called me Barney then, amen. I've been all them guys. But when I met Brother Charlie, I asked him to be my pastor, amen. And he is. If I need some help, he's just been a help to me and been a wonderful friend. And not because of what I have to offer, but because of just who I am. And I don't know if that means anything to y'all, but it means a great deal to me. And boy, isn't it good to have him here tonight. Yeah. What a blessing, amen. And I guess he said he had to get it all in one night, so we're going to have to hurry, amen. Praise the Lord. But I do thank you for everything, Brother Charlie, that you've done, the wonderful motel room, the fruit basket. Ladies, you just have outdone yourself. You've worked hard. You've got up early, went to bed late. You cleaned up, fixed up, and cooked up. And I thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I wanted to share with you an excerpt of his message since he entered into evangelism. And he's kind of proud that he entered into evangelism, and so I'm going to kind of read you this part of this message that he preached at our church. And here Brother Terrence was talking to us about graduating from his church and enter into the evangelism ministry. And he was getting ready to preach his first sermon and go out and do the will of the Lord. And somebody asked him, said, how much Bible do you know? He said, man, I'm in evangelism. I know all there is to know about the Bible. I want you to know I'm an evangelist. You don't get to be an evangelist unless you know about the Bible. Say amen right there. And so he said, I know all about the Bible from cover to cover. And somebody said, well, what part of the Bible do you know best? The Old Testament or the New Testament? He said, I tried to tell you, I'm an evangelist. I know the Old Testament. I know the New Testament. Hey, I'm as good as any preacher you could name. Well, they, good, that's wonderful. Would you mind telling us then, Brother Terrence, one of the best familiar Bible stories that you can think. How about doing this? How about the Good Samaritan? He said, man, with a confident smile, with all kinds of enthusiasm, he said, I know that story real well. And I want you to know, I preached that thing already in evangelism. I am an evangelist. I began to get that jest that he was an evangelist. So he preached and told us that he knew the Bible very well. Well, he preached in our church, and this is an excerpt of his message. And he said it like only he can say it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who went down to Jerusalem by night and fell among the thieves. Upon the stony ground, and the thorns choked him about half to death. And Nicodemus said, I know what I'll do. I will arise and go to my father's house. So he arose and climbed up into a sycamore tree, for he was of little stature. The next day, Sodom and his wife Gomorrah came by and found him and put him on their beast and carried him down to the ark for Moses to take care of him. But as he was going through the eastern gate into the ark, he caught his long hair on the branch of a mighty oak tree and hung there for 40 days and 40 nights. The people said of the city, surely by now he stinketh. Therefore, he was afterward and hungry. And the ravens came and fed him with manna by day and quails by night. The next day, the three wise men came by on their way to Bethlehem, bringing their sheaves with him, and carried him down to Nineveh, that wicked and idolatrous city. When he got down there to Nineveh, he saw Delilah sitting on the wall of the city. And he said, chuck them down, boys. And they said, how many times shall we chunk her down? Till 7 times 70? And he said, nay, but 70 times 7. And so they chunked her down 490 times. And she burst asunder in the midst. Moreover, the dogs came and licked all her sores. Henceforth, immediately, as soon as the sun was going down, they picked up 12 baskets of fragments of her that remained. And old Nicodemus said to those standing near, I wonder in the resurrection whose wife she's going to be. Amen. Boy, I tell you, anybody want to surrender to the evangelism? Amen. Take your Bible now to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 16. A merry heart doeth good. Like a medicine, amen? What a privilege it is to be here tonight. Acts chapter 16. The Bible says in verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I want to preach tonight on this thought as we come to the close, near the end here. We're fixing to go back home. We're fixing to face trials. We're fixing to face battles. It's already been talked about. But I want to kind of add to what already has been said, maybe just a little bit more. Not because it wasn't said right. It was. But I just want to tell you a little bit of what the Lord laid on my heart, amen, on victory in the midnight hour. Victory in the midnight hour. I'm glad tonight that there is victory in Jesus. I'm glad tonight that there is a plan and purpose of God for our life. And as it's already been talked about, that those troubles and those trials are means for God to grow us up and to mature us and to keep us from going back into the things where He saved us from. Amen. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what kind of strife that's in your heart or battle that's in your home. But I know this, that God has a reason, and we can have victory in the midnight hour. Amen. Amen. Our Father, we come before You tonight rejoicing, Lord, for the things that we've heard this week. Our hearts have been lifted up. Lord, I thank You for those times in prayer that, Lord, that my heart was broken as I realized some things in my own heart, my own life that needed a little tending to. Thank You for the men of God that stood and preached the Word of God without fear, without worrying about what people might think. Lord, I thank You for this place, this oasis in this world of desert. Thank You, Lord, that we can come to this well and get a drink of water that refreshes our heart and soul. I'm glad tonight, Lord, that when we rise in the morning and when we head to our respected places, Lord, that there's something inside of us now that'll keep us going and keep us serving the Lord and giving us, Lord, the encouragement that we need in these last days. I pray now that You'd take this portion of Scripture and, Lord, that You'd challenge our hearts once again, that You'd give us what we need tonight. And Lord, I pray that this revival, the excitement of serving God would not die out tonight, but continue to be carried to wherever we live. And Lord, our churches would benefit from what's gone on this week. Lord, we thank You for what You've done for us. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You, Lord, for Jesus who gave His life for us. Now help us now, pray, and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Boy, here the Bible says that there was an earthquake in the midnight hour. And listen, I want you to know that every believer, somewhere down the line, some portion of life, some crossroad, we have come to a midnight hour when everything seem like it's going wrong, and the bottom falls out, and everything that could happen wrong is going to happen and has happened. And boy, in that midnight hour when everything seems to not make sense, I want you to know that God might be testing us in that midnight hour. You know, when the troubles of life come, they have a tendency to reveal to us what we are and where we stand with God. The Bible said that God came walking in the cool of the day and He cried out, "Adam, where art thou?" It wasn't that God didn't know where He was. He's sovereign. He knows everything. But He wanted Adam to know where he was and where he had gotten into. Amen. And I believe that trials, you know, we've been blessed so good. Amen. God has put His hand upon our home, upon our churches. We've got it better than most people in this country tonight. God has been good to us. But you know what? Sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we get the big head. Sometimes we think that we're above average. And sometimes we forget that we're just sinners. Sometimes we forget that we deserve to go to hell. Amen. I believe sometime the midnight hour come around to show us, hey, listen, we still need God. We still need the touch of God. We still need the Word of God in our lives. And He'll test our faith. That's what Peter said. He said that the trial of your faith, it talks about the testing. James said, "Count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation." Amen. There's a reason for it. And sometimes a midnight hour comes upon our lives. It doesn't seem like daylight's anywhere in sight. It don't seem like help is around the corner. It seems like that everything has, that many thing that could help us is out of reach. I believe He tests our faith. I believe there are times when the heart is literally gripped by fear what's going to happen. I believe it's happened this week. I believe there's probably folks at Glory Land wondering, what is going to happen if something happens to Brother Charlie? And that fear grips our heart. What's going to happen if I was to lose my job? What's going to happen if my health begins to get bad? I'm going to tell you something. Listen, you better thank God for your health. You better thank God for a strong body. You better thank... Hey, you young people. Hey, listen, you ought to take care of yourself. I tell you this much. The older you get, the more things you have hurt. God's been good to us tonight. And I'm going to tell you something. There's folks in the hospital tonight got tubes running out their nose and their mouth. Hey, listen, they give everything they have just to sit here and enjoy a good service. But sometimes that old fear grips our heart. Sometimes in that hour we wonder, what's going to happen? What's my family going to do? Where are we going to turn? What kind of action? What's going to happen to us? Sometime in that midnight hour, our family goes through great stress, problems, difficulties. The pressure's on, amen. And the midnight hour comes upon your family. I want you to know that the midnight adversity is no stranger to God's people. All through the Word of God, you see people literally in the midnight hour of their lives. You see them go through trial after trial. The woman came and touched the hem of His garment who had suffered 12 years with an issue of blood. Amen. Man, there was affliction in her life. She tried everything. She went to doctors and physicians, but nobody could help her. But thank God there was victory in her midnight hour when she touched the hem of His garment and was made whole that very moment. Job knew about affliction. Job knew about heartache. Job stood one day and looked at 10 caskets as he said goodbye to all that meant the world to him. I believe if you could have talked to him, he said, "No, go ahead, take my livestock. Go ahead, take everything I've got. Go ahead, let me be sick. But don't take my kids." But he lost it all. And in that midnight hour, God gave Job victory, as you know, at the end, twice as much. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's people have known and been a part and familiar with the midnight hour. Martha and Mary came and said, Lord, if you'd have just been here. Lord, if you'd have just been here a few days ago, my brother had not died. If you just showed up, we know that you could have done something. He looked at her and said, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I'm going to tell you something. God ain't, He ain't late. God ain't never like we want Him to be, but He's always, always on time. I think about Peter. That night he denied the Lord. He had said, no, not me. Lord, all the rest of them. When the hard times come, all the rest of them may go. All the rest of them may flee. But I'll guarantee you, God, I ain't going to do it. You can count on me. Jesus looked at him, and I'll tell you, He said, Peter, before that cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. I know the Bible says after that cock crowed, the Bible said in the book of Mark that Peter looked at Jesus. And that look melted his heart. Peter fell into a midnight hour. Peter fell into a hard time. Peter fell into a time of embarrassment. A time where he let God down. A time when everything seemed like it was out of place. And later he said, I go fishing. All hope was gone. The faith was gone. His desires were no longer what they used to be. Oh, but thank God there's victory in the midnight hour. Thank God the Lord has a purpose on the day of Pentecost. That same denier stood and preached the Word of God, and 3,000 souls got saved. And here Paul and Silas, the Bible says at midnight, they began to pray and sing praises unto God. What was it? I mean, listen, if it was us today, and it may be coming very quickly around the corner, there may come a day. Brother Tad got up this morning and he preached. Today he preached it just like it ought to be preached. He preached against the sodomites. He preached against that wicked crowd, and he called them what they were, queers. Did you know there's coming a day? Did you know there's coming a day, maybe not far around the corner, that when we preach it like we believe it and tell it like it is, we may be set behind bars for doing it? Why? Because this world's getting more and more wicked. This world's getting farther and farther away from God. They'd rather hear about Allah. They'd rather hear about Muhammad than they would to hear about Jesus Christ. They were in the midnight hour. I dare say, you say, well, I wouldn't do that. I don't know how I'd be. I'm not a spiritual giant like some of y'all. Hey, man, I like driving through McDonald's. Hey, man, I like freedom. I don't know but what I'd bellyache and moan and groan. They were not in jail because they committed a crime. They were not in jail because they broke the law. They were behind bars because they preached the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they are at midnight hour. In behind bars. In stocks. In the inner prison. They were in the security part. They had all kind of chain on them. They had all kind of captivity on them. They were bound. The average day Christian would be griping and look at God, look what I did. I tried to stand for you and look what happened to me. I tried to tithe and look what happened to me. I tried to give to missions and try to make a sacrifice and look what's happened to me. God did not promise you a bed of roses. God did not promise you an easy way. God never said it was going to be simple. God never said we'd all shout it out every time. The average Christian today, no doubt, would be moaning and groaning and griping and complaining and murmuring. Not Paul and Silas. What made them? The Bible said they began to pray. And they began to praise God. In the midnight. In the darkest. Did you know that the midnight hour is sometimes the darkest hour of our lives? I know, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I know my family, my children, and I, we have suffered. We've went through a dark hour. And it seems like, why has this happened? What's going on? No doubt there's some maybe sitting here tonight. Some single mother. Man, I loved him. What happened? He left. What did I do wrong? What was it my fault? What a dark hour. What a lonely hour. What? I tried to serve God. I tried to do right, but why am I in this hour? I believe that midnight hour is a dangerous hour because you begin to think wrong. You begin to accuse God. I wonder how many people are used to be. They used to teach. They used to preach. They used to sing. They used to have a Sunday school class. They used to run a bus route. They used to go to church. But something happened in their life, and it was a dangerous time, and it didn't go the way they wanted to, and they shook their fist at God. There's no doubt tonight, people that you know that are not in church because of something happened in their Christian life that they didn't think should have happened. That midnight hour. That midnight hour is an hour of decision. There's a choice to be made. Paul and Silas could have griped. They could have murmured. They could have hollered out and said, what's going on here? Lord God, what's happening to us? But no, they had some victory. They had something inside them that gave them the ability to sing. They had something inside that caused them to lean upon their everlasting arms. And it gave them victory. What made them do that? What made them be able to sing and shout? What was it that caused them to be able to rejoice in that dark, in that lonely, in that hard midnight hour? I'm going to tell you a few things I'd like to say they experienced. It might be a help to you down the road. I promise you, some of us are going to go home to battles. If you pastor a church, you get away for a week, you go home and you just don't know what's been going on there. Somebody's upset. Somebody's aggravated. Somebody's going to leave the church. Somebody wants a special meeting with you. Amen. Somebody there at the house has got all bent out of shape, you know. They're aggravated because you're down here, amen. Well, what they don't realize is that we need encouragement just like everybody else. God gave them victory in the midnight hour. God showed them His power. In the midnight hour, God showed Himself strong in their behalf in that lonely hour. Why? How? How did it happen? I believe, number one, they had that victory in that midnight hour because they had a song they could sing. Amen. There was a song that they could sing. There was a melody in their heart. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I love music. I like instruments. But I'm going to tell you something. You might listen to some songs that will make your foot tap. You might listen to some songs that make you want to groove. You might listen to some songs that make you want to move. But in the midnight hour, those songs of the world can't help you. Those songs of the world, they won't give you strength. Those songs of the hour, they won't lift you up. Amen. But you get in that midnight hour and you cut loose with amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. Now I see. There is a fount filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's faith. And all who plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. They had a song they could sing. They had a melody in the heart. They had a song that settled them with peace. We serve a God that has the ability to speak peace. Those disciples were fearful for their life. The ship was a rocking to and fro. Everything seemed like it's going to be shipwrecked. He's down asleep on a pillar. And when he came up, they said, "Master, don't you care? Don't you care that we perish?" And he stood out on the bow of that ship and he said, "Peace, be still." No waves rolled down and licked his feet. And the wind said, "Yes, sir." They knew who he was. Well, I'm telling you, I got a song tonight. We can sing a song that brings a settled peace to our heart. We've got a song to sing that'll carry us through the midnight hour. When you go home and you face the trials and the tribulations and the hardships, God can use a song. He'll use a verse out of that Bible. Oh, listen, what a blessing that is. Listen, they had a song that brought a settled peace. But they had a song that promised a sure heaven. Amen. We don't have one problem tonight that the rapture couldn't solve, just like that. A song about heaven. Ah, listen, you can sing about the earth. You can sing about the trees. You can sing about the universe. You can hug the trees and all the rest. But there ain't no song that'll give you victory like a song about Jesus. Amen. Boy, this world's crazy. Getting nuttier every day. I don't know how in the world some of these people survive with no song in the hardships. I mean, they go, what does that do for you? What's that going to do for you? They call it red. No, sir. No, sir. That song won't carry you through. That song won't excite you. That song won't lift you up. But a mansion over the hilltop will. Amen. Saved by the blood. Saved by the crucified one. Those songs, they'll lift you up. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, God's songs will help you keep your britches up. Amen. They had a song. They had a solid partner inside. Ah, listen. Spoke peace. Even though we shed tears. The songs this week, they've been about Jesus. They've been about victory. I tell you what, those songs lift you up above the problems. They lift you up above the trials. They point your eyes toward heaven. They remind you of a promise. They take you back to the place when you got saved. They renew and restore your faith. They had a song. They had a song they could sing. I believe they had sermons they could cling to. Oh, thank God for the messages that we can cling to in the future. You can buy them. You can take them home. And when the trials come and the midnight hour comes, you can put on Brother Ted. You can put on Brother Wilson. You can get a blessing. You hear that sermon about the well. Where to get that drink. You hear them sermons that lift you up. That's what I like about our crowd. Hey, listen, don't get me wrong here. I love singing. I love the music. But the Bible says God chose a foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The singing is to prepare the way for the sermon. Hey, a lot of churches you can have a singing all night. They'll come out from everywhere. But you have a prayer meeting, you don't get them to come out. Amen. You have a hog fry, get you some hog meat out. They'll come from everywhere. But you have a revival, you can't get them to come. Why? Oh, those songs make you feel good. I love those good gospel songs. But it's still the preaching. It's still the sermon. It's still the Word of God that gives us strength. All that singing is supposed to do is get you ready for some preaching. Amen. Oh, they had sermons that strengthened them. They had sermons that solidified their faith. They had sermons that they helped them stand for God. Amen. And that's what will help you in the midnight hour. Those sermons you can cling to. I'm going to say this. They had a firm salvation. I'm glad I'm not saved one day and lost the next. Saved, lost, hope I die on the right day. I'm glad that my salvation is secure. I'm glad I've got everlasting life. I'm glad tonight that I'm saved forever. He said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Salvation that was firm. My feet are on the solid rock tonight. All other ground is sinking sand. Paul never got over that Damascus road where he met the Lord. You remember the day you got saved? You remember that? Can you go back right now and rehearse what happened when you got saved? Listen, you're still as saved now as you was then. That kind of salvation will give you victory in the midnight hour. That salvation was wonderful because Paul knew that he had met the Master. Yes, sir. Saved him. Changed him. Made him a better person. Yes, that Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They had a song to sing. They had sermons that they could cling to. They had a salvation that was firm. And they had a Savior who was watching out for them. Do you know tonight God's watching out for you? You may have come to this meeting, and this meeting was the very thing that keep you from giving up on God. This meeting might have been the very thing that kept you or is keeping you from throwing the towel in on your church life. This meeting might be just the very thing that gave you the encouragement to keep on going in your marriage. The Savior knows where you're at tonight. He knows every heartache. He knows every trial. He knows every disappointment. He knows every valley. And thank God He's still a lily of the valleys. Amen. Thank God He still can help. He still knows where we're at. He still knows what's going on. God ain't up in heaven twiddling His thumbs wondering what happened. You're in His plan tonight. Even the valleys. Amen. Even the valleys. He knows where you're at. He knows how you feel tonight. He knows the disappointment. He knows the heartache that you have. He knows the struggle that you got tonight. He knows everything that's happening in your life. What you need to do is realize that victory's already yours and get to the old-fashioned altar and claim what's rightfully yours. He can give us victory over death. He can give us victory over drink. Yeah.
He can give us victory over sex. He can give us victory over all those things that ail our lives.
He knows where you're at. He knew Paul was down there in jail. He knew exactly. He promised and said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Sometimes it seems like he's a million miles away. Sometimes it seems like that maybe he's forgot where we live. Oh, I'm glad to tell you tonight he hadn't. He knows how you feel tonight. He knows what's in the innermost part of your being. He knows that struggle. He knows that secret sin. He knows what's happening in your being tonight. And there's victory in the midnight hour because he's a watching out. He said he wouldn't put more on us than we're able to bear. You said, man, I'm going through a lot. Then I ought to help you. He's got enough, and he's got enough confidence in you to give you that load you're bearing. I mean, other people couldn't carry what you carry. Other people couldn't go through what you're going through. Other people couldn't survive what you have to deal with. But he knew you could. He had confidence in you, and he put the burden on it, and there will be victory in that midnight hour. Turn. More than Brother Charlie, more than myself, more than Brother Calvin, more than Brother Joe, we need to put our eyes on God. Where's your eyes tonight? Where are you looking tonight? Are you looking at the trouble? Are you looking at the strife? Are you looking at the disappointment? I'm going to tell you tonight, God knows where you're at. God sees what you're faced with. God knows that midnight in that internet room that you've been messing with. He sees those secret files. He sees those secret chats. You ain't hiding nothing from God. And sometimes at midnight hour is so that God can bring you back to Himself, and the troubles come in order to get you back. Don't fight him tonight. Don't argue with him tonight. Don't fuss with him tonight. Get right with him tonight. He knows where you're at. Around this country tonight, there's a mom and dad in a rocking chair weeping because they've had to bury their son that fought for this country, come back in a casket. Why? They ask, why? I don't know why. I don't understand why. But I know this, that God, He's a sweet lily of the valley. He's a rose of Sharon. He's the one that gives us confidence in the hour. I'm going to trust Him tonight. Amen. He reminds us of the power of the past. David could have never whooped Goliath had he not went through the bear and the lion first. It was that lion, it was that bear that prepared him for Goliath. And what you're going through tonight, God's going to send somebody along in your life somewhere that's going through the same thing you're going through, and you'll be able to help them with what you've gone through. I know that's true. Look at 2 Corinthians. I'll show you from the Bible. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Well, listen, the midnight hours are hard. You weep, you cry, you wonder why. Thank God we have a God that sees everything that's going on. He knows what you're feeling. He knows the fear. He knows the struggle. He knows the pain. He knows the heartache. Not long ago, I went to a children's hospital in Oklahoma City. And boy, you want to... If you're discouraged or selfish or just plain belly aching about things going on, maybe your TV quit or your iPhone gave up or something, you really got a problem, man. Why don't you just shut up about that stuff and realize there's somebody worse than you. And if you don't believe me, just go to one of these hospitals and see. There's probably millionaires in the hospital tonight that are dying that would give every dollar they got for one good day of hell. Little baby in the ICU room. His daddy was sentenced to life in prison. He was just a crib baby. He was just a few months old. And that dad got aggravated or upset or something. We still don't know what happened. But he beat that child to a pulp and they had stitches from this side of his head all the way around on top of his head where that dad had beat him. I'm telling you, God knows what that family feels. God knows the struggle. God knows the pain. God understands it all. He's watching. And there's victory in that midnight hour because of His promise of His presence. There's a promise of His power. There's the encouragement and the knowledge and the fact that God has a plan and it never fails. It never fails. What made Him shout? What made Him sing? What made Him be able to shout? Well, they had a song they could sing. They had sermons they could cling to. They had a salvation that was firm and solid. They knew the Savior was watching. And then there was a sense that somebody's watching. It's already been said this week, a lot better than I can say it, that somebody's watching your life. Even when we don't see it, God, somebody's watching our lives. I don't have time. I'm not going to take time to go back. I'm probably long now already. But you remember when they were stoning Stephen? Stephen began to preach and give the history of Israel and how God blessed them, brought them through the wilderness. And the Bible said they laid his clothes at the feet of one named Saul. It made an effect on his life. It had something to... It penetrated his heart. Somebody's watching you tonight. Somebody's looking at your life and what you're going through to see what you're going to do and how you're going to react. Your family is usually the hardest people to win. They're the hardest people to live for God in front of. That's a trial there. Many of you that have won your family members to the Lord know that it wasn't what you said. It wasn't the things that you gave to them literature-wise or whatever. It was that constant life that made the difference. And I'm going to tell you, that gave them the victory. That Philippian jailer was watching. When he thought everybody, earthquake came, he thought everybody had fled and escaped. He's ready to take his life because y'all know the Bible, that's what they did in that time. He was responsible for them. And about the time he got ready to draw that sword, Paul said, "Hey, wait, wait, don't do no harm. We're all here." And he was watching their lives. He watched them praise the Lord. He watched them pray. He watched them sing. He heard them. He watched their lives and it made a difference. And tonight somebody in this community is watching Gloryland Baptist Church. There's people in Durant that's watching our church and your church, wherever you're from. Let me say this. What made them victorious in that hour? I like this now. I'm going to end here. They were stirred by the fact that Jesus was coming. I mean, it crossed my mind when I was looking at this. I kind of think old Paul thought that when that earthquake took place, he probably just gouging old Silas. Hey, this is it. This is it. This is it. Get ready. Get ready. Oh, man, we're about to listen to a trump sound. We're listening to that voice. And that earthquake took place. And Paul said, we're about to get out of here. Just remember, no matter how dark the hour, no matter how lonely the hour, no matter how hard the hour, Jesus is coming. He's coming. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I've told this story a lot in my church. When you pastor somewhere for 20 years, you're bound to tell the story over again. And I don't even know if I tell it right. But I tell it, and I like to hear me tell it, because I always get blessed by me telling it. A little traveler got lost and was trying to find his way back to the highway, and out in the country he pulled up. A little old house didn't just look like a little old shack. Looked like it needed a lot of repair. Porch falling apart, windows is all out of kilter, and out in the front yard, there was no grass. There was a fence tottered all over, about to fall apart. But there's a little old girl, little old bitty girl, sitting out there playing in a little old skirt, all tore up her dress. Her face is all matted. Her hair is all matted, dirty. And as he was going to go up there and get directions, he happened to hear her singing, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. She was just playing with her doll in that bright land where we'll never grow old and sun. He said, little girl, do you live here? She said, yes. He said, what are you talking about, a mansion? You live over the hill somewhere? And she said, oh, no, sir. She said, I'm thinking about a mansion that Jesus gave to me. This is not my home. I'm going to tell y'all something tonight, that this world is not a home. Hey, there's coming a camp meeting in the air. There's coming a shouting time in the air. There's coming a time when Jesus comes back, we'll shout the victory. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tales of life repay. Victory. Victory in the midnight hour. When you go home, it's not a matter of if. Y'all know it's a matter of when. You may go to the doctor and have that little ache and pain in the stomach and find out that there's cancer there. You may get some bad news from a loved one. I'll promise you the midnight hour will come. But if I could help you and I could help me, listen, there's a song we can sing. Songs about Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Amen. There's a song to sing at midnight. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. And boy, that'll get you through the midnight air. Every town and feet is framed, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Listen!
All other ground is sinking.
Let me tell you, one of these days, the midnight hour is going to burst with the cloud. That could be the next cloud that Jesus rides on. But He's coming. Don't give up.
Amen.